blessing. Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 147, stanzas 1 through 5. O save me by thy name, and judge me in thy might, O God. Now grant my urgent claim acceptance in thy sight. 1 through 5 of Psalter 147. Scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Habakkuk, the first chapter. Habakkuk chapter 1. First, we will read the holy law of God according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Habakkuk chapter 1. the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save. Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards, and are more fierce than the evening wolves, and their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings, and the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he, and makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them? They take up all of them with the angle, they catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag, because by them their portion is fat and their meat plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? So far the reading of God's holy word. Let us try to pray and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty and eternal Lord, it is thy holy day. Oh, what a blessing and what a mercy that we may be gathered and that we may wake safely to begin this new week and this new day together. And Lord, it is again a day that thou hast set aside for the true worship of thee. Oh, separate us. For a little while this day, from all the things of time and sense, and from all the burdens which can lay upon us in this life, and from all the cares of the world, and the deceitfulness of riches that are often choking thy word, that seed that is sown in the midst of thy church. And wilt thou give that our thoughts and our meditations may be fixed upon thee and upon thy word, that we may hear what thou hast to say unto us through thy holy word, and that it may not enter only into our ears and into our minds in this day, but wilt thou come with thy spirit and work what we cannot work. Lord, thou givest unto us so many blessings, and our life testifies against us. Day by day our iniquity increases, and we have no thought for the most part about thee. Oh, give us to feel something of a true godly sorrow that we have left thee in paradise, and a burden in our heart that our sin does not grieve us as it ought to grieve us, and that we might learn to sorrow after a godly sort, and that we may learn to turn from our sin, to seek and to serve the true and the living God. Oh, give us an impression that thou art alive and that thou art the ruler over all the land. Oh, that we may be humbled before thee this day, that thy day may be profitable to us and unto our children. Oh, hast thou not given it, Lord, in the days of our forefathers, that thy spirit has been poured out, that men, our fathers, have been humbled in the dust before thee, and we can read of those who have written of their own lives, that miracle, that wonder that thou hast worked in their days, in the days of old. Oh, we can read it in thy word, what thou hast done in the former times. Lord, thou art the same yesterday, today, and forever. Oh, thou who changest not. Oh, thou who art almighty and all-powerful. Could it please thee to remember us also and our dear children? There shall be an innumerable multitude, 144,000, that complete number that shall be taken in that great day of days. Oh, it will be to thy honor, Lord, it will be to thy glory, when one sinner this day may be added unto that seed that shall serve thee. Oh, it will be for the praise of thy name here below in the time, and it will be for the glory of thy name to that never-ending eternity, when thou wilt snatch a sinner from the grip of hell, from that death that we have brought ourselves into, and that thou wilt give unto us that life from the dead. Oh, we beseech thee, Lord, take reasons out of thyself. There are no reasons in us and in our children, only that thou shouldest cut us off this day, that thou should not hear our cry and our supplication, that thou would forever pass us by, because our heart is so carnal, wretched, and corrupt, and that we have only a desire for the things of the world, that we have only a desire to end well,
but we have no desire to serve thee in our life. O righteous and just, art thou most holy God, and to cut us off with our dear children, but we beseech thee to look upon us in and through thy dear Son. Oh, he has obeyed thee. He has finished everything that thou gavest him to do. And he has humbled himself so deeply, and he has paid the price. And thou didst show that thou wast satisfied with that which he has done when thou didst raise him from the dead. Thou didst take him even to thy own side to enthrone him on high. Lord, could it please thee to look upon us and upon our children in this morning hour, in and through him in whom thou art well pleased, and take reasons out of that great work which he has accomplished, to look upon us and to apply that work to us, that we also may be converted, and that we also may be forgiven, and that we also may be washed, and we may be cleansed, and that we may be brought into thy favor and thy communion. Lord, do it for thy own name's sake. Do remember also thy own people. Oh, thou knowest also their life. It is a church militant here below, and thou wouldst not have it otherwise. For thou didst pray unto thy Father, and not that thou shouldest, that he should take them out of the world, but that thou wouldest keep them from the evil of the world. But Lord, also their heart is so cleaving to the world, and there is so much of that world in their hearts. But oh, remember them also in the days in which we live, that thou wouldst restore thy church to her former glory, that thou would give thy people to speak yet of the work which thou hast done, that they may be able to say, come ye, all ye that fear God, and I will tell you what he has done unto my soul. Oh, restore it, Lord. And wilt thou take away all that stands in the way? And wilt thou revive thy own work in the midst of the years? Remember us as a congregation. Lord, wilt thou be with each and every one in a personal way? Oh, give that we may have inner chambers, that we may have secret places, that our religion may not be one of form and custom alone, but wilt thou meet us in secret, and wilt thou bring us to weep out our heart before thee, and to realize that we have to meet thee, oh, that we may have a secret life, and that thou would speak unto our souls together. Oh, leave not out the children, the boys and the girls, most of the time, that thou art beginning in the days of youth. Oh, look upon them, and give that they also may see the emptiness and the vanity of this world. Oh, show it to them early, that they may seek thee in the days of their youth, for which they will never be sorry. Lord, remember parents. Oh, help us. We are so unfaithful. Lord, we need to be given strength and diligence, faithfulness and zeal by thee. Oh, fill us with the fear of thy name in the practice day by day. And wilt thou give what is necessary to instruct and to lead our children in all this life. Remember those who have become older, the grandparents in all the cares and the fears often of old age, when there can be so many fears to die, and when they feel that day that is approaching. Oh, Lord, give that this also may be bound upon their hearts, and that it may be for their own salvation. Remember all that go over this world alone, those that are widows, widowers, and orphans. Be with all that are not married and those that have no children. Oh, supply in the needs and in all the cares and the burdens of this life. And wilt thou help us to bear those burdens with one another in that short time that we have here below? Lord, wilt thou go before us, each and every one, especially that has needs of the body. Remember also that young child that was in the hospital in this past week, and thou hast made it well. Lord, wilt thou give an increase for the body, but wilt thou also give a thankful heart, which we cannot give to ourselves by nature, but wilt thou humble us under these thy deeds and give us an impression that it comes from thee, and that we may not use our health and our strength in vanity and in sin, but may it be in the fear of thy holy name. Go thou before all thy servants this day, when thou hast sent them into this world to bring thy word. O Lord, the heart of man is by nature as hard as that nether millstone, and we have no ability to awaken anyone. And we have no ability to take forth the precious from the vile. And we have no ability to comfort ye, my people. Lord, wilt thou help us then, all those over the length and the breadth of the whole earth that are truly called and sent by thee? Wilt thou send more servants in thy vineyard? But wilt thou give that in this day that thy presence and that thy help may be felt and may be experienced? Oh, be thou in our midst also, so undeservedly, to help us to preach and to help us to listen. Take away all the buyers and the sellers, and wilt thou draw our hearts unto thyself. Forgive all of our many, many sins. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 165, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. Hear, Lord, the voice of my complaint. Preserve my life from fear. Hide me from plotting enemies and evil crowding near. The workers of iniquity, their deadly shafts prepare. They aim at me, their treacherous words. Oh, save me from their snare. Psalter 165, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Congregation, our text for this morning hour you can find in the portion that was read to you, Habakkuk 1, verse 12. Habakkuk 1, verse 12. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. So far the words of our text and its context. The faith of Habakkuk, first, the trial of this faith. Second, the triumph of this faith. And third, the conflict of this faith. The faith of Habakkuk, first, its trial. Second, its triumph. And third, its conflict. We shall not die. That is, congregation, the exclamation of Habakkuk. That is the servant, that is the prophet of the Lord. That is a very remarkable exclamation. We shall not die. And why is that exclamation so remarkable? That is especially because it is something that concerns the future. And the future is something that is not known to you and I. We do not know whether we shall die or whether we shall live even through this very day. And yet Habakkuk, he says, we shall not die. Is that then part of that prophecy that the Lord has shown to Habakkuk? No. Don't read this. But Habakkuk says these words in faith. We shall not die. Sometimes there are those who may speak with a great certainty about the future, and that is by faith. Of whom does Habakkuk speak here? He says, we shall not die. Who is that we? That is the people of the Lord. That is, he is prophesying among the children of Judah. But then it is especially concerning that remnant of the Lord, because they are not all Israel which are of Israel. But then it is especially that he speaks of God's true children. We shall not die. And that exclamation that is made even more remarkable because of the circumstances that Judah is now finding herself in. Why? Because there is a threat of death. And that threat that is very real. And that threat that is very present. What has happened? We heard last week something about that sin of Judah, that there was oppression in the land of Judah, not from the enemy, no, but within Judah itself, that is, from the Jews unto the Jews. We read of spoiling and of violence. Then we read of wrong judgment. So the weak and the helpless, we heard that they were being oppressed. And then it concerned the true church, then it concerned especially that true remnant of the Lord. And they are opposed within that visible church. What does Habakkuk say? O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence and thou wilt not save. Thus, Habakkuk cannot understand it. Why that the Lord is allowing such an oppression among his own people? Does the Lord not see it? Does the Lord not know it? Why will the Lord not come for the help of his chosen? Oh yes, the Lord will come. That is sure to be. Whose congregation is the deliverer of the church of God? Boys and girls, I can ask you that question. Who is the deliverer of God's church? You will say to me, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that is right. Then his name is Jesus, that is Savior. And his name is Christ, that is the Anointed One. And it is for this purpose, for this reason, that the Lord Jesus has been anointed, that he may deliver, that he may save his own church. The children of Israel, they have heard of the Lord Jesus for so many years, the prophecies of the coming of Christ. And they have looked for the time when that the Lord Jesus would come into this world. The prophets have prophesied of him. But we read of Malachi that he is also prophesying of the coming of the Messiah. And then what does he say? He says, who shall abide the day of his coming? In other words, he says, you think you look forward, O Jews, to the coming of that Messiah, but you do not understand what that Messiah is going to do when he comes. Who will be able to abide that day when that Messiah comes among you, O Jews? Because he is going to be like a refiner's fire, and he is going to be like fuller's soap. And then we can read how that the Lord Jesus himself, that he has spoken of the purpose that he was anointed to come into this world. And what was that purpose? Well, when he has begun his ministry, then he has stood up in that pulpit for to read. And then he has read from the prophecy of Isaiah. And he has spoken to the people and said, this day is this prophecy fulfilled before you. And what was that prophecy? That was the prophecy of his coming. The Spirit of God is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. That he has anointed me to do what? To bind up the brokenhearted. To preach liberty to the captives. The opening of the prison unto them that are bound. What was that anointing of Christ? That was to deliver all those who were oppressed. And what did the Lord Jesus show himself to be when he came? Then he came and he found in his coming, yes, much religion, but it was not true religion. There was among the Jews the Pharisees and the scribes. And by those Pharisees and the scribes, the rulers in the church of God, there was oppression. There was an oppression of whom? An oppression of publicans and of sinners. There was an oppression of that people who were weeping in a true repentance. An oppression of those that were truly humbled before the Lord, with whom the Lord Jesus sat and ate. And the Lord Jesus has stood for that oppressed people. And he has proclaimed, "Woe unto you, Pharisees and scribes." Oh, there is no doubt. There is no doubt concerning the judgment of the Lord against those who will oppress his church. He knows his people. That is his Hephzibah. That is the apple of his eye. There is not a hair of their head that can fall to the ground without the knowledge of his Father. And woe, he says, oh, it were better for a millstone to be hanged about your neck and you to be cast into the sea than that you should offend one of those little ones, he says, that believe in me. And now this is what we read also here in this prophecy of Habakkuk. Behold ye among the heathen, and regard, and wonder marvelously, for I will work a work in your days, which ye will not believe, though it be told you. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs. Thus, when Habakkuk has been asking the Lord, he says, O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear, even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Oh, then the Lord is giving an answer upon this cry. And the Lord says, oh no, Habakkuk, that oppression of my people in the midst of my church, that shall not continue forever. But I am going to use Habakkuk, a heathen nation. I am going to bring the Chaldeans here among the children of Judah. And it will be to punish that people for the oppression of my remnant. For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans. The Chaldeans, they will raise themselves up, yes, for their own purpose. But then there is a higher hand. Then it is my hand that is in it. When the Chaldeans shall come and they shall surround all that land of Judah, then it will not be just something of their own mind, but I myself have raised up that people for my purpose. And therefore it cannot be averted. And therefore it cannot be turned away. Is that far in the future? No. He says, in your days. He says there will be some that are living now that will experience and that will see this. Then what an awful judgment. So that even all those heathen nations that are around that kingdom of Judah, they are going to look and they are going to see what is happening here. And we read they are going to wonder marvelously at that punishment of the Lord. If you will tell them now, Habakkuk, of how awful that it shall be, then he says, they will not believe you.
that the Lord would send such an awful punishment upon his own people. The Chaldeans, they shall march through the land. They will be unhindered. No one will be able to prevent them. They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves. Their very nature, their very being, and that will strike fear and terror into your heart. And their judgment that will not be according to the law of God. No, they have no law except a law that proceeds out of their own heart. They will do as they please. Their horses also are swifter than the leopards and are more fierce than the evening wolves. And their horsemen shall spread themselves, and their horsemen shall come from far. They shall fly as the eagle that hasteth to eat. Their horsemen swifter than the leopards, that is actually the panther, that is supposed to be the lightest, the most swift, and the most fierce of the beasts of the earth. Thus, a people, a nation that are so fierce, that are so swift. Fierce, he says, as the evening wolves and as the eagle that hasteth to eat. Did you ever see that, boys and girls? Did you ever see an eagle or another, a ravenous bird, when they come to take their prey? Then there is no fighting of their prey against them. Once they have them in their claws, then there is only doom to that prey. And thus the Lord says, you will not be able to resist that great the fierceness of that enemy that is soon coming upon you. They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand, and they shall scoff at the kings. And the princes shall be a scorn unto them. They shall deride every stronghold, for they shall heap dust and take it. Violence, spoiling, that was your sin, O Judah, and your sin, that is going to come back to you. Do you hear that, young people? All our sin, then we often find that back again in our life. What we have done, that is often later in our years coming back with such clarity that we have to say that the justice, the judgments of the Lord, they are my own fault. Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. What does that mean? Then shall his mind change. That does not mean then that Nebuchadnezzar, he has gone from having from being good to bad or from being bad to good, no. But then those that man, he shall have so many successes. He is going to go from one nation to the other nation, including Judah, through all that land. And he is going to have so many successes in bringing under and into captivity all those whom he desires, that his pride is so going to be lifted up, and that man, he is going to become, as it were, intoxicated with himself. That he is going to see himself as God, and that he is going to attribute that power and that success unto himself. So we see that happen.
Do we not read of Nebuchadnezzar standing upon his palace? Is not this that great Babylon that I have built by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty? And then it is likely that that idol that he has set up, that was even an idol of himself, to be worshipped by all his own people and the enemy, the spirit of the Antichrist, who will exalt himself above all that is called God, and as God, sitting in the temple of God and showing himself that he is God. Young people, how can we know the truth of a prophet of the Lord? Do you know that? The Lord says that to us in his word, how that it is possible, because there are also people today who are prophesying about the future. How may we know? The Lord says by Moses, if the words of that prophet come to pass, then you know that I have sent him. There is only one, that is the Holy Spirit, that is able to convince you of the truth of that holy word of God. And I hope you may seek that in your life, but also in a natural way. In a natural way, I mean that when you are asked by others in university, etc., how do you know that that word of that the Bible is the word of God, that the Bible is actually the truth? How can you prove that? That is so easy. Because the prophecies which were prophesied so long before, they have come to pass with such accuracy. Thus, the things in the scriptures, they have been and they are being fulfilled. And that leaves you and I without excuse. Judah, at the time of Habakkuk, they stood here before the judgments of the Lord. But very soon, they stood in those judgments of the Lord. Very quickly, that word of Habakkuk has become a reality for Judah. That is now a warning to us, because not one jot and one tittle of that holy word of God shall fail. And Peter, he says that the time is come that judgment must begin where? That is, at the house of God. Why? Because their congregation is where that remnant is. There is the people who are the apple of God's eye. Have we ever trembled under this? Habakkuk trembled under it. But that brings us to our second thought, the triumph of Habakkuk's faith. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? Thus Habakkuk, he hears the great and awful judgments that are coming upon the children of Judah. Do you think that was a light matter for him? It was not. Then he is trembling when he hears this. What is going to become then of the people of the Lord?
Is the Lord going to make an end of the children of Israel? Is the Lord going to bring them all together to destruction? Is he going to allow the enemy to come and completely overtake the people of the Lord? That is his fear when he hears this. And when that enemy comes, then there is going to be no distinction between the righteous and the wicked in Judah. That is, God's people, those that were afflicted, those that were oppressed, they are also going to be included in those judgments that are coming over that whole land. They are also the ones that are going to suffer, that are going to be carried away by that enemy. And not only so, but it is also those wicked Jews who are laying on the heart of Habakkuk. They are also part of that outward church. They are also circumcised. They are also called by that name of the Lord. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord, my God, mine Holy One? Or what does he say? Habakkuk would, as it were, intercede for these children of Judah. Just as Moses, when Moses was upon the mount and the Lord speaks about destroying all those children of Israel, then Moses, he is pleading with the Lord. What a wonder if a church who is in the midst of sin, and who is upon whom are coming the judgments of the Lord, that they have one that is to plead for them. And that is pointing then especially to that great high priest who is interceding for the church of God under the wrath of God that is to be poured out upon them. And now it is to him that this prophet is referring to in his supplication unto the Lord. What does he say? Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? And the word Lord there, that is in all capital letters, that means that word is Jehovah. Thus, Habakkuk, he is pointing to God in his relation to his covenant. That is, he reminds him of that covenant of redemption. He reminds him of what he has promised unto his own son in eternity. He says, O Lord, it is from everlasting. That is an unbreakable covenant. Oh, who are the parties in that covenant? That is the Father and the Son. And thou art not a man that thou shouldest lie, neither art thou the son of man that thou canst repent. Oh, that is the rest. That is the comfort that is lying in that heart of Habakkuk. That is his hope. That is his expectation. When the children of Judah have so fallen away in the ways of sin, and when he looks upon this, then what does he say? He says, we shall not die. No, as cruel as that enemy will be, it cannot be for the utter destruction of the children of Judah. It cannot be for the utter destruction of that remnant of the Lord. No, it is impossible that people are solely in the hands of that enemy. Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God,
mine Holy One. Oh, can the Lord change? Can He break that covenant? Can He alter that word that He has spoken with an oath? Oh, would He then not cease to be God Himself? Or is He not bound by His own self? Is He not bound by His own word? Has He not done it at His own goodwill, at His own good pleasure? Has He not done it for the welfare of His church? Or is He subject to passions as man is? Upon the wickedness of His people, as if His mind that can change in a moment? Or is there anything? Is there anything that the church can do to sin themselves outside of that blessed covenant of grace? Art Thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. No, that church cannot perish. They are held by His hand. Even though times, even though seasons will pass over that church, though the wicked be ever so strong, though the wicked be ever so swift, we shall not die. Oh, be that church ever so weak, be that church ever so helpless, be that church ever so sinful, we shall not die. And that is true also in a certain sense, not only of that true remnant of the Lord, but also true in a certain sense concerning all of the people of Judah. That is, also the wicked ones. Why? Because of that remnant that is among them. That is, because of that apple of His eye. But what then, congregation, about of all that enemy that is about the church? Oh, that seems like they are ready to swallow up and destroy the people of the Lord. Habakkuk, he sees something. And what does he say? He says, O Lord, Thou hast ordained them for judgment. And O mighty God, Thou hast established them for correction. There is such a great difference between punishment and correction. The church that is redeemed by the Lord Jesus Christ will never, congregation, be punished. Why not? Because of the justice of God. Because God cannot punish sin two times. Else God would not be just. And when that punishment of the church that has come upon that holy Son of God, who has endured it unto the end, then by the justice of God, that church that is completely cleared. But that same church needs continually to be not punished, no, to be corrected. Because of the evil that lays in their heart even to the end. And even sometimes the wicked world is used for the correction of God's church. The Lord speaks about the Assyrians. He says, they are the rod of mine anger, and the staff in their hand, he says, is my indignation. Then it is in the mind of the Lord to use the world to punish His people. Howbeit, he says, He meaneth not so. It is in His mind to swallow up and destroy. That is, in the mind of the enemy. Thus, the wicked
They can be so wrong in their purposes and yet sent by the Lord for the chastisement of his people. And therefore it behooves the true church of God under those afflictions to do what? Not only to look at the wickedness of the enemy, no. But to say, O Lord, why? Why dost thou permit that enemy to have such a place amongst us? O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment. O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Great difference between the judgment of the wicked and the chastisement of the righteous. Though outwardly they suffer exactly the same thing. For one it is to their destruction. For the other it is for their salvation. For one it is in wrath. For the other it is in his mercy. How is that for us? Let us sing. Psalter 193. O God, to thy anointed King, give truth and righteousness. Thy people he will justly judge and give the poor redress. 1-6 of Psalter 193. Thank you.
Our last thought, the conflict of the faith of Habakkuk. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Oh, that true faith in the life of God's church can never be lost. It cannot be lost in its essence or in its being. The gifts and the calling of God, they are without repentance. But that does not mean that that faith can always be exercised to the same degree. That is such a different matter. And that is known and felt and experienced by the true church. If we are ignorant congregation of that ebbing and flowing in the way of the exercising of faith, then really we should question if we know true faith at all. That is not to make doubt a mark of grace, no. But it remains a reality in the life of the church which is not yet glorified. To pretend to be a church without spiritual weakness, and that is to deny the necessity of the washing, the continual washing of Christ, and the need for the help of the Holy Spirit. Oh, Habakkuk, in one of those blessed, blessed moments when he may, as it were, rise above all of the strife that is evident in the life, in the heart of God's church. In one of those blessed, blessed moments when he may look and we may see something of that covenant of God, and when he may say, no, we shall not die. Oh, they are the most blessed moments, the moments that the church of God, they are closest to heaven. But there is a people that know and that experience that they cannot hold on to it. As quickly, congregation, as it is given, so quickly is this withdrawn again. Oh, that church, they are so dependent for everything upon the working of that Holy Spirit. For all their comfort, for all their consolation, and to believe to the glory of God. And no sooner has Habakkuk spoken by way of that blessed faith, we shall not die, or he begins to murmur and complain. Just as if the Lord is dealing too harshly with his people. All those people, they cannot be reconciled to that will of God so easily. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? No, the Jews, they were far from righteous. But the Chaldeans, he says, those Chaldeans, they are much worse. How can the Lord, he is of such pure eyes, and he cannot look upon evil, how can he bear such evil against his people? And how can it be that the Lord, it just looks like the Lord, he does not see it at all, that he does not know anything about it? And makest men as the fishes of the sea, as the creeping things that have no ruler over them. Here Habakkuk uses a bit of a metaphor, and he compares Judah, he says, to the fishes of the sea. And the fishes of the sea, boys and girls, that is easy, right? You have seen that in the water sometimes. All those fish, they are swimming in the water. And what happens? Well, they can be all together, that there is one that is guiding them. They are all following one. But when you will take a net, you will go into that water. Do they then fight for each other? No. What do? They all flee. They all fly away as quickly as they can, all for themselves to save their own life. And now what does Habakkuk say? He says, Lord, then thou dealest with thy people just like the fishes of the sea. Just as if thy people, they have no protector at all. And every one of them, they are for themselves. And that enemy that can come and do everything in thy land just as they please. And the poor, they have no evident helper. And thus they are not harassed only by their own people, but now they are harassed also by the heathen. And they are taken in their nets, and they are taken with their hooks. What the Lord answers Habakkuk, that is the Lord willing, what we hope to consider next week in the next chapter. But we wish to close congregation with a few words first of application. Despite all appearances, despite whatever that it looks like on the outside, the judgment of the Lord that is so, so certain, there is not one sin in this whole world that is going to go unpunished. Not one sin in thought, word, and deed. It is impossible, because God's justice must be satisfied. And there are many in our days that are saying, as we read in God's word, where is the promise of his coming? Because everything continues as it was even from the beginning. And yet, the judgments of the Lord will come. The earth and our nation that is making itself ripe for the Lord's judgments, as it was in the days of Noah, as it was in the days of Sodom. When those judgments come, they will be unexpected, and they will be very swift. Then they will come, we read in God's word, as a thief in the night, as that panther, as that eagle that very, very suddenly is falling upon its prey, or ever that prey is aware. How will we stand when we have to appear before God and God will deal with us in his justice? How will we stand? Do we ever, congregation, see? Do we ever feel the need for a mediator? For one to stand for us in that great day of days. Oh, that same justice of God that assures that no sin will be punished twice. And therefore, blessed are those people whose sin has been punished in the Lord Jesus Christ. It is a people congregation, though they cannot always believe it, though they cannot always see it, it is a people that are reconciled unto a triune God. And there is nothing that is standing between God and their soul. Often, the true church is included in the punishments of the wicked. Because Solomon, he says, there is one event unto the righteous and unto the wicked. And yet, for that people, it is no punishment. Sometimes, there are moments that those people, they can say, we shall not die. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And indeed, congregation, they shall not perish. But the death of the righteous that is precious in that sight of God, for them, whatever takes place in this world, their death, it is a translation into an eternal rejoicing in a salvation that is so undeserved from their side. And that is why the Lord Jesus, he says, when you see those things begin to come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Oh, may the Lord give this unto his church. But congregation, that destruction of the Jerusalem by the Chaldeans, that was also a foreshadowing of the destruction of Jerusalem many years later by the Romans. And the reason for the destruction of Jerusalem also by those Romans was the same. What was that? Wrong judgment. It was for the despising, the rejecting of the Lord Jesus Christ. And why? Why did the Jews reject the Lord Jesus Christ? It is because he humbled himself so deeply, because he came in the form of a servant, and the Jews could not bear to have such a king before all the other nations of the world. It was their pride. Salvation, congregation, is not too high for us. Salvation is too low for us. We cannot stoop low enough to receive it. That is our sin. It is because of our pride. And that is a paradox, but it is also the truth. And then you may be sure, if it remains so in our life, that we remain too high and too proud to receive help from that Savior that the Father has sent into the world, oh, then we can be sure that our judgment shall be just. May the Lord bind it upon our hearts. Amen. O God of the heavens and of the earth, teach thou us from above. Show to us what we are, what we deserve, and make thyself necessary and precious. O give thy people a lively faith. And then it is also their burden, and that they cannot exercise it. But O look upon them. Help us this day further. Give meditation upon thy word. Forgive all our sins in speaking and in listening. Crown it with thy blessing. Bring us with desire in thy house further in this day. Help us from above. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 355, stanzas 1, 2, and 3. All who with heart confiding depend on God alone, like Zion's mount abiding, shall ne'er be overthrown. Like Zion's city bounded by guarding mountains broad, his people are surrounded forever by their God. 355, stanzas 1, 2, and 3.
Good with God. comes in thy saints defending their joy, O Lord, increase. With mercy never ending and
blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.